Welcome to Points on the Board, episode 122, where we are slamming the gas on sports, culture, and the chaos that ties them together. I am your host, William Del Pilar. And tonight, we kick off with NASCAR's Carson Hocevar, torching Mexico City with a single word, forcing the sport to navigate a tribal minefield. Did they get it right? We'll find out. Then the sport and star that just keeps giving and won't go away. Caitlin Clark's rewriting WNBA history while dodging flagrant fouls and unfair hate. It's time the league protects its superstar. So why are we talking about her this week? Well, we got the ratings in now that she's back, and we'll compare the before and when she was out and since her return. And then we'll wrap it up with the final whistle lightning round of jaw-dropping stories from Simone Biles' exodus to ESPN's latest pathetic excuse of a fumble. So strap on your leather helmet, people. This is going to be a wild ride that hits hard, just as I do every week. But first, let me take care of some business. Visit grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, and Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. And when I sat there and said visit, I meant bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. And again, follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, and Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. And don't forget to smash those likes and please share. My paycheck depends on that. Well, technically, we're all volunteers, but you get the point when it comes to growth. So now let's dive into this episode. So Carson Hocevar's Mexico City misstep, NASCAR, you conservatives are going to be surprised, NASCAR's right call in what I call a tribal trap. Okay, so Carson Hocevar is a 22-year-old NASCAR Cup Series driver, and he sparked controversy just recently this past week by calling Mexico City a shithole. And he did that during the Twitch live stream before the Viva Mexico 250, NASCAR's first Cup Series points race outside the United States. And this was the first time since 1958. So it was held at the Autódromo Hermano, I'm trying to be sarcastic, the Autódromo Hermanos Rodriguez. The race was a milestone for NASCAR's global ambitions, obviously, as they're looking to expand the sport. And it makes Hocevar's remarks a setback. A setback for the sport's image, a setback for the brand, a setback for all the race car drivers. We're talking potential revenue here, not just for NASCAR, but for the drivers themselves and their teams. Spire Motorsports acted swiftly. They fined him $50,000 and donated it to Mexican charities and mandated sensitivity training. Hocevar issued an apology, which, while appropriate, drew mixed fan reactions. Okay, my quick take before we break it all down. The fine is okay. Donating it to Mexican charities is phenomenal, but mandating sensitivity training? No, no, no. Go jump in the lake with that one. The apology, yeah. And I'm going to get into why, because this y'all are thinking, what you talking about? What you talking about, Willis? He bent the knee. In this case, he did not bend the knee, and I will explain why. But my theme throughout tonight is going to be about NASCAR being in the right to discipline him, because his words carried weight, not as Hocevar the individual, but as a team representative and for the brand of NASCAR. But we see in NASCAR a history of drivers bending the knee to corporate or public pressure, and that's created tribalism. The progressives, racist whitey, Unless it's Bubba Wallace, then it's like, he lied. Oh, no, you're a racist for saying he lied. Even though Bubba did lie. And Bubba has shown himself to be quite the racist himself. He's let his true colors of who and what he is come out. So the history of drivers bending the knee, you know, we don't like that as conservatives, whether it's a driver, a player, an entertainer, whoever. And that was the case here. Conservatives are not defending Hoover and saying he bent the knee, and progressives are happy that they got another whitey, in our trophy room. But both sides are missing the nuance of this scenario, the nuance of his responsibility and NASCAR's broader goals. So we're going to explore Husavar's role, the incidents, his apology, NASCAR's inconsistent past, I already mentioned it, Bubba Wallace, and how this tribal divide fueled by years of progressive hate to cancel and destroy anybody who is conservative, especially if you're white. I'm Latino. We run the gamut from black to white. It's that simple.
Oh, excuse me.
So who is Carson Husavar? Well, he's a 22-year-old from Portage, Michigan. Portage, somewhere up north in progressive area state. Well, anyway, which is not where you think of most NASCAR drivers, but it is a sport that is expanding. People are shocked on a side note. California, San Francisco, L.A., and San Diego. And there's other cities, and they tend to be urbanish, but that's like where most of the population, but that's like, I don't know, maybe 15, 20%, I'm guessing here. I've never looked it up. But as land-wise, it's a small part. Everywhere else is country boy, cowboy hats, and farms. So you just never know where these old rednecks will come from, as I say endearingly. But, so Husavar is from Michigan. He's a rising NASCAR driver. He's piloting the number 77 Chevrolet for Spire Motorsports, the people who are punishing him too. In the Cup Series, NASCAR Cup Series, which is what everybody's aware of and what they know. And he's also racing part-time in the Craftsman Truck Series. So, he started racing at the age of 7, they say. Quarter midgets at age 7, racking up 79 wins and 15 national titles. I'm like, that's got to be a misprint. It can't be right. Anyway, he started racing quarter midgets, racked up 79 wins and 15 national titles. As a teen, he dominated the local tracks. Obviously, a kid who could move around when he was behind the wheel. And he won the Berlin Raceway's Outlaw Late Model. That was in 2015 and Super Late Model in 2017 championships. His career path, broken in NASCAR's Truck Series in 2019. He joined Nice Motorsports full-time in 2021. He's also rising fast. Truck Series, 5 wins, including Kansas this past May. He finished third in 2023 with 4 victories, showing an aggressive style of wheel-to-wheel racing. So what do I know about NASCAR? Well, it's not what I know. It's where I grew up. So I moved to North Carolina from Panama. Born an American citizen, as I've stated plenty and plenty of times. I was forced to learn NASCAR. You don't learn it as much as it becomes part of you. All the drivers, the races, the tracks, it's all around you. Your friends who grew up there, they love it, they know it, et cetera, et cetera. So, the Truck Series, 5 wins, including Kansas in May 2025 again, 4 victories, showed himself to be aggressive. Then the Cup Series, he was named the 2024 Sunoco Rookie of the Year. He finished 21st overall, the best for Spire Motorsports. So they got somebody on hand. They're like, yeah, we got a winner. Let's groom him. Not Democrat grooming. Not LGBTQ grooming. That's bad grooming. So this past year, he is currently 17th in Cup Series standings. He has 316 points. He's missing the playoff cutoff, though. But he's proving he can race. He can run up front. He scored a pole at Texas. He finished second in Atlanta and Nashville. And he nabbed third at Watkins Glen. That was in 2024. And where he led with 70 laps total. So they say he's got future track potential. Denny Hamlin calls him a superstar with raw talent and predicts race wins very soon. And he won the All-Star Open at North Wilkesboro, and he led 32 laps at Michigan before a tire issue. The point is that I'm trying to say, this kid competes. He's showing he can race with the best. He's showing he's got what it takes to win. They say he's also relatable, good kid. Again, Denny Hamlin, who is a well-known star in the league, calls him a superstar with raw talent. He won the All-Star Open at North Wilkesboro and led 32 laps at Michigan before a tire issue again. So he's somebody who is not only up and coming, he's not peaking. He hasn't hit his peak, but what he's done is he's showing himself and what his talent. That's what I'm trying to say. His talent is coming through. They can see the talent at times where he may not win, but they're like, that boy's competing. So at 22, he's known for his speed and fearlessness. And they mark him as a potential face of NASCAR's next generation. That's why they had to come down hard on him. But he's still learning to handle the spotlight. And he's 22. He's an immature buffoon. I don't say that in a negative way because everybody's pretty much immature buffoon. He's still a kid. He's a fan at heart. He watches truck racing. He watches the Xfinity races from the grandstands. He's up there. Races on iRacing with fans, started in the GTA-style NASCAR trailer. He is the future. They want him to connect with younger kids, younger audiences. They want him to uplift all that and to grow NASCAR. Because I'm going to get into it, but NASCAR's stagnating a bit, and the numbers have been down the last years. He's supposedly a down-to-earth Michigan kid. Always wanted, obviously, since a kid, he's been racing. So this has been his dream. And, you know, only in America can you live these dreams like this. So what was the controversy? Or rather, he's had his share of controversies. Aggressive driving. That sparked feuds with veterans like Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Nashville and Mexico City. He was fined $50,000 last year, 2024, for spinning Harrison Burton under caution. Ryan Blaney called him reckless after the Atlanta bumps. In Mexico City comments, and his apology there did draw conservatives labeling him as a sellout. They probably want to go. Let's go, Jose Mara. Let's go. I don't think they're going to go that far for let's go Biden. You know, get that out. But it's just fan frustration because of NASCAR's broader issues and their missteps and they're trying to progressivize their audience, but instead they're losing their audience. And Josevar is a local dirt track hotshot. He's talented, maybe rough around the edges, but kids love that. And he has a fire to prove himself, which means he's got fire in his belly. It's somebody that that the kids are going to look up to. And go, yeah, I want to be him. That's Jimmy Dean of race car driving. You know, so he's got a journey from small town Michigan to NASCAR's big stage on his way up. He's chasing the dream, but like everybody on the way up, he makes mistakes. So what is this? The incident. So last week in a pre-race during the Twitch live stream, he was asked about Mexico City and the Autodrome Hermanos Rodriguez track. And he called the city a shithole. He criticized safety, travel logistics, and feeling locked down in his hotel. Now, these are remarks that happened during NASCAR's first International Cup Series points race. And it's meant to celebrate Mexican fans. And they were disrespectful. And it was poorly timed. And why is that? NASCAR is trying to build the brand up to go worldwide. F1 has that. But they're not as popular as NASCAR is in America. But they have that. I mean, we all know the Indy 500, but that's about it. Oh, I guess the Huntington Prix Grand Prix. I think it's in Huntington. Or Long Beach Grand Prix maybe another one where celebrity, but for the most part, NASCAR dominates. So they want to take that dominance and take it worldwide because they have the opportunity to do that and grow bigger than they are growing in just the U.S. They're not growing here. So how did he do in that race? Well, ironically, he finished 34th out of 37. One lap down, amplifying scrutiny of his comments as a poor ambassador and a loser for NASCAR's global push. Mexico just did not go right for this kid. And, you know, the clip went viral, sparking outrage again on X, by progressives, and then the apology on X. Then he got the outrage by conservatives. So he couldn't win. And this made coverage. Blaze Media, ESPN, Yahoo Sports. Obviously, the leftists living in the mama's basement who you sit there and say, hey, are you a boy? No,
I don't identify. Why you trigger me?
He pissed those off. But then when he apologized, you sell out. Where's your backbone? Stand up straight. conservatives at first defended his honesty. He's right. I'm Latino. Now, let me tell you something. Every time I go visit Panama and I leave the airport, it's about an hour and a half drive, depending on traffic, an hour maybe. From Panama City and the airport to Colon, where my family lives, I'm always shaking my head because I'm like, what the hell? You got one of the most beautiful places that I've been to. It's just tourist ready, and there's garbage everywhere. Crime here, cancers. They won't let me go to places alone because the moment I speak Spanish, hey, he's a Yankee, and they fear for my safety. And I've been to other countries, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? So he was right. He was absolutely correct. But he was wrong because he was representing NASCAR. He was representing his team. They were there as ambassadors to grow the sport, grow the brand. So I don't care how. Look, let me put it to you this way, conservatives. Because that's who I'm talking to right now. If you got a fugly wife or a fugly sister, hey, what are you doing about meeting the family? And they got their iPhones, hey, taping the family moment. Man, that wife, man, that one fugly woman, I mean, when she was with us, I mean, she's so ugly. You know, or that daughter, man, boy, they both must have been drunk that night because something was up with those jeans. That's one fugly daughter. Or just that bird chest on that son, man, that boy ain't never going to get a girl. I mean, it's equivalent to saying that. You just don't say it. There's a time and place. You say it privately. Man, you see Joe's wife there, whoo. Or, man, she Joe's sister. Why? What about her? Boy, she's not hot. That woman's going to stay a spinster her whole life. Or that son got about as much athleticism as my dog, my chihuahua over here. You know, you don't say that in front of people where it's going to affect them. It's just not needed, not necessary. And that's what he did. So, Spire Motorsports, again, fined him $50,000. They donated to Mexican charities. And the sensitivity training, which I disagree with. You know, he made a truthful comment. If there's any sensitivity training, somebody saying, sitting him down, brah, you don't say that at this time. That's it. He doesn't need, and I wouldn't attend. I go, bleep you. I was wrong. I apologize because it was wrong place to say a truthful statement like that. But everything else, go bleep yourself. That's what I would do. Why? Because they need him more than he needs them. He's helping to build their league. He's the future. So the team gave him this punishment, and NASCAR is not adding to it. And that's what the team wanted to do. They wanted to avoid NASCAR coming down on them and suspending them. Now, there's the sponsor, Total Play, which is a Mexican telecom company, probably pressure them. So the Mexico race drew 70,000-plus fans. So they don't need his garbage. So it was a setback. And again, I'm from Panama. I've been to Mexico. Yes, it can be a bleep hole. I've been to beautiful parts that aren't. Can't remember where I was at that I saw the pyramids. And then I did some cenote diving, swimming the caves. So many years ago, I was like, where was I at? What part was that? Maza? I can't remember. Anyway, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful, you know, So, but there's parts that, like in Panama, Colón, no, that's a bleep hole. Anyway, social media shows the tribal divide. Progressive fans demanding punishment. Conservative fans argued he spoke the truth about Mexico's issues. So the apology, this is what he said. Quote, maybe a kid that had never been out of the country until Thursday should never give an opinion about what any place is like other than Portage, Michigan, unquote. Well, that's partially true. You know, I always tell people, go out and live and understand how other countries are. Well, he should have gotten out of that is, damn, I'm pretty lucky to have been brought up in Portage. So he also said, count this as another lesson. Don't believe everything you hear without seeing it yourself. I'm sorry, Mexico City. Quote, I said something that not only was wrong, I appreciate the opportunity to learn, and I knew what respect means to this organization, and I didn't meet the standards, so I got what I deserved. You know, see, that sounds PR crafted. So what I do sometimes in AI with my posts that are harsh, the posts that I write in harsh, very harsh, mean, you know, they're not going to get much traction. I'll go to AI, hey, tone it down. But this was written by PR. I mean, he should have said, I said something that not only was wrong, I learned a hard lesson. There's a time and place. And I apologize. I apologize to people of Mexico. So while the apology was appropriate, it was obviously PR driven. So he should have manned up and done that himself. And that's what I would have told him. I would have looked over the apology, but it should have come from his words, his heart, etc. But who knows? Maybe he doesn't care. I got to say this crap about that bleep boat, you know? So as a Latino conservative, my perspective on Host of Ours comments, it lacked tact. It damaged NASCAR's global efforts. His role as Aspire NASCAR rep demanded accountability. He was not speaking for himself, people. He was representing the company. It doesn't matter what he said was true. And some of my conservative friends, yeah, I've seen your wife. I've seen your sisters. Woo! Hey, buddy, how you doing? Hey, dude. Yeah, I hope the wife's good. The wife's looking beautiful. Yeah, she is. You're like, whoa. Like, man, that woman looks like she's been smoking or chewing tobacco her whole life. You see that? I am picking. I'm just being mean to nobody. I'm being sarcastic to prove a point. There's certain things you don't say because it's just wrong. I mean, he could have said that privately, but not publicly. All right. So, I cracked myself up. So the apology was necessary to protect NASCAR's image, and conservatives don't want to understand that. You know, but why? Bubba Wallace and the noose incident. So there was one of those pool ropes. Heck, I got one up here. There's a pool rope right above me for our fan and the light. And it had a little circle. And Bubba said, there's a noose there. I can't get any traction as a driver. Let me make a lie up and say there's a noose there. Oh, heaven help me. I feel unsafe because that pull down string looked like a noose. This is racially motivated. I'm Bubba Wallace. I don't like Bubba Wallace. He's a loser and scum. The day he gets out of NASCAR won't be fast enough. I hope he never wins a big race. Racists should not be allowed to win. But they do. But the rope, again, was a garage door pull. President there since 2019. There was no hate crime. There's no evidence. And on CNN, Wallace says, that was a noose, man. A noose this big. They wanted to choke me with it. They wanted to choke me with it. I reject the FBI findings. And there were no penalties for Wallace. Despite the fact he was lying, he showed himself to be a racist. And he was doing that for victim mentality attention. I mean, last I heard, him and Jesse Smollett were heading the subway together via the 8500 Speedway. Come on, Jesse, let's go get a subway. And I'm still working here. Jesse won't be available until 2 a.m. So there are no penalties for Wallace. And instead, NASCAR doubled down. All y'all white drivers need to sit there and attend our sensitivity courses. And the fans were losing it because we saw the truth. They're like, y'all a bunch of liars. It's a hoax. No, it's not. My name's Bubba Wallace. I fear for my life. Y'all keep the black man down. Despite the fact Bubba Wallace earns hundreds of thousands of dollars and probably into the millions when you count his endorsement, all that stuff. And that's when NASCAR really took a massive step back. People left it in droves. Top it out, Wallace faced no punishment. While Husavar's $50,000 fine and training may have been justified, it clearly shows a double standard. They bent the knee toward their biggest demographic. Bubba lied and got a pass, because I'm Bubba. Carson spoke the truth and got crushed, but he should have gotten crushed, because so should have Bubba. Bubba should have been suspended for promoting racial hate. So NASCAR's pass, and Bubba's not the only one, has polarized the fan base. And let me be clear here. At one point, 10, 15 years ago, I remember we started NASCAR back in 2006, 2007, right around there, because it was growing. And I remember we threw a website together in 30 days, legit, full of articles, full of quality fantasy prognosis. It was looking professional. NASCAR sent us a letter thanking us for doing that. We didn't do it for them. That was a market to be tapped. I wish I still had that letter. Maybe I do somewhere. Yeah, it was just, you know, form letter signed by that, but somebody, not form letter, but, you know, it wasn't handwritten or anything. But, yeah, they were thankful because we were helping their growth. Now, it's pre-2020 major tracks, Daytona, Talladega. They drew 50,000 to 100,000 fans. 2023 to 2025, averages are 30 to 70,000. Bristol Night Race. Bristol, Connecticut, please, that's where ESPN's at. Had empty stands. Mexico City has 70,000 fans, a success. But the U.S. is stagnating. That's why they want a brand. That's why it's so important. TV viewership, Daytona 500 drew 7 million viewers in 2020, 5.8 million in 2025. That's a 17% drop. The average Cup Race Series viewership fell from 8.5 million in 2015 to 5.1 million. Then to 4.8 million in 2025, despite Prime Video streaming. My note says despite, damn you producer, but it's not despite. It's streaming and NASCAR and niche sports like that. The wider audience you can get via free network television will always be better overall from that perspective. That's why you won't see the Super Bowl. The day the Super Bowl's on a streaming service is a day you're going to see rebellion from the fans, and you're also going to see lawmakers take action because they have a monopoly and we pay insurance for the Super Bowl. So you won't see it for a while. So revenue's flat, $3.5 billion annually from 2020 to 2025. Monster Energy scale back. Racing, you know, I don't know. It's they have fumbled the ball over at NASCAR, and the mentality there. This is the same mentality at NASCAR that was at Bud Light. Who's our market? Frat kids. Who are we gonna crap on? Frat kids. We don't need you, frat kids. We got Dylan Mulvaney here, the guy with heels. How'd that turn out? And that's where NASCAR's heading. So why the stagnation? I gave you one reason I think it's woke, but NASCAR's bending the knee in cases like Wallace. That's created a divide. Conservative fans resent woke shifts. Progressive fans demand more inclusivity, but they don't watch NASCAR. NASCAR's chasing new fans who don't care while losing the ones who built it. And notice I said they're chasing those fans. That's what an expo said. They're chasing those fans. They're not capturing them. There's no new stars. This guy, Husovar, is now seen as spineless by a big chunk of his fan base, and his growth is going to stagnate. His apology was right, but the tribal reactions show how NASCAR's past has conditioned fans to pick sides. Young kids and young fans, they seek strong role models. And when adults on social media or watching the event call Husovar spineless, kids are going to turn and look at him. Man, that guy, my dad says that guy dirtbag. I don't like him. That's how it goes. In fact, one post said, quote, "My kid liked Husovar, but I told him drivers shouldn't fold, even if it's right. He's in the F1 now." I don't really buy that, but that will happen to some. Husovar's justified apology is getting lost in the tribal noise. So, in essence, NASCAR's tribalism is impacting their growth. It's making it hard for fans to like it. So when the sport does that correctly, they don't care. So this was a loser scenario. He should have just come out and said on his own, no suspension or anything, should have come out on his own and said, "Guys, I was wrong. I was representing NASCAR. My personal feelings aren't what this is about, and I was wrong. I toured the city. I was with somebody. And at the end of the day, if I go into parts of New York City or L.A. or Boston or Chicago, I'll feel unsafe as well. So, you know, I was wrong. So, come on. Give me a burrito." Oh, that's too funny. So, he's not the first athlete to feel this. You know, I'm going to talk about Simone Biles, but backlash cost her. Bubba Wallace, you know, his support has not gone up. But let me tell you one, or what I mean by not gone up is he's become a pariah. He's unliked by literally everybody now. You know, he gets his love from the media, you know, and his team. That's it. He may go, "That's all I need." But he's in the sport where they love the adulation, and he doesn't get it. You know. Anyway, one that hasn't been mentioned is Drew Brees in terms of backlash. And losing a lot of face. To me, Drew Brees will always be the biggest duck with a C that has ever come out of the NFL. I have no respect for him. No respect. He's a loser, a scumbag, no spine. His wife was probably getting pleasured on Sundays by a real man. Why? He said he'd never agree with Anthony kneeling. And after the backlash, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, please don't cancel me, Mrs. Sponsorship." Screw you. That's one where Husovar was right, or they were right to give him some punishment. But Brees, he's just a duck with a C. Duck with a C. So what's comment right here? Athletes apologize, and then they lose fans. They lose support. And sometimes they have so much support, they don't care. But eventually, after they retire, they'll care. You can only sign so many cars. I mean, honestly, Drew Brees, does anybody care about him anymore? No. One Super Bowl in 10 years, 12 years, whatever, the man should have 3 or 4. Between his chokes and Sean Payton's chokes, the Saints only got one. And they're lucky it was against, who was it, the Colts? Yeah. Oh, man. So, what are the takeaways here before I close this out? I'm kind of beat this one with like a dead horse. Obviously, he should not call Mexico City a shithole. That was a mistake. His apology was appropriate. He should have done it himself, though, in his own words. And the reason I'm saying this, conservatives, is because he was representing NASCAR. NASCAR was there with a specific mission, a specific reason, and he just disrespected his bosses, his team, his own team's ownership for everything they were trying to do. So NASCAR did make the right call here. But NASCAR did not come out with the win. They're going to lose. Husovar is going to lose the fan base, part of his fan base. And I don't see NASCAR growing. Why? Because it's a situation, right or wrong, the perception. And then Bubba's still around until they get rid of him. They'll always be seen as a black guy. It's that simple. Husavar's path, he's a rising star. He's got to learn from this. He's got to learn to keep his red hot attitude there, and maybe he'll become something. But the problem is we live in such a fragmented world right now. The stars of yesterday, Earnhardt, Richard, I'm drawing a blank. The greatest driver of all time. Because he's been out of the game for 20 years now. I used to know all these drivers by heart. But y'all get my point, Earnhardt. Those big names, you're not going to get names as big like that anymore because our society is so fragmented. All right, let's move on. Let us move on. We're going to talk Caitlin Clark here. I talked about her last week. But the truth of the matter is she's back. When I talked to her, we did not have the ratings numbers in from last week, but we do now this week. Clark's a phenom. She's reshaped the WNBA in popularity and business. So I want to give you guys a brief history before Caitlin Clark. So before Caitlin Clark, or when it wasn't without Caitlin Clark, the WNBA finals last year drew 730,000 viewers across four games on average. That's not good. That's not good. You know, Caitlin Clark drives over a million. So without her, they saw it in the finals. The greatest WNBA series, is the finals for any league. 2023 WNBA draft, 570,000 viewers. No viewership, not watch TV. 2024 WNBA draft, 2.5 million viewers, 428% increase from the year before. The All-Star game, 3.4 million viewers versus 850,000 in 2023. Fever games, 19 to 22 regular season games with 1 million plus viewers featuring Clark. The players, the playoffs against the Connecticut Sun averaged 2.2 million. Tripled the 2023 finals. 2025 ratings. Early season pre-injury. Fever's first four nationally televised games, 1.8 million viewers. During the injury, national televised Fever games dropped 53% to 847,000, not even a million. The May 28th game versus the Mystics, 357,000 viewers. When she came back against the Liberty, 2.2 million. Peaked at 2.8 million. 76% increase from the prior season's ABC coverage. Third most watched game ever on ABC, WNBA game. So what's the takeaway here? Clark drives unprecedented viewership, making her the league's biggest draw. It's not, quote, it's not just TV. Clark's filling arenas too. Let's look at attendance. Who's that quote by? Mwah. I cracked myself up. What can I say? So, the Indiana Fever averaged about 4,100 fans per home game, second to last in the league before Clark 2023. League-wide, 6,600 fans per game with 45 sellouts across the whole league. Clark's rookie year, the Fever led the league with 17,000 fans per game, 4,000 to 17,000, 319% increase. You see the trend that's happening here? She set single season home attendance record, 341,000 fans. Record setting games, 20,700 fans against the Mystics at Capital One. Four teams, Washington, Atlanta, Las Vegas, and Los Angeles, moved Fever games to larger NBA arenas. The Liberty set WNBA records with 2 million plus ticket revenue from one Fever game. Tennis 2025, Fever averaged 17,800 fans or 17,700 fans. Teams like Washington used the Capital One Arena, 20,000 seats versus 4,200 seat entertainment and sports arena, 4.8 times larger. Her injury, here's the kicker, resale prices for tickets to her games dropped 80% from $137 to $80. Upon her return, Liberty sold out. Clark is the hottest thing the WNBA has ever seen. She's lifting the league, but she's also facing unfair targeting and bigotry. I'm going to repeat myself as I do every week because it's still happening. Then WNBA is not protecting her. Again, last year, 17 flagrant fouls against her as a second-year player. The officiating must improve, but it's not. There have been fouls flagrantly done towards her with the ref looking at it, not saying anything. In fact, in one game, even the announcers were like, oh, yeah, yeah, they're going to get ejected. And the player was not ejected. It's just terrible. Off-court hostility. Renee Montgomery, Atlanta Dream co-owner. Atlanta Dream co-owner here. And former WNBA All-Star from 2010 and 2020. Accused. She's probably a small percentage owner. Accused Clark's fans of being racist, sexist, and violent. Why? Because she hates Caitlin Clark because Clark's white. That's it. She said it on her podcast, Montgomery & Company, in September 2024. Nothing ever came out about it. Nothing. Luckily, NBA stars like LeBron James appraised her and are defending her. But they hate her, and they're willing to lie. She lied. Renee Montgomery is a vile, scumbag, racist, bigot, whatever you want to call it. Because when you accuse somebody, you're lying, but you're accusing them of racism, you're doing it because out of hate, jealousy, and envy. Fever fan investigation on Angel Reese. Well, three WNBA investigations into Fever fans for alleged racism and sexism, all tied to games involving Reese and Chicago Sky, May 17, June 1st, and June 16th. No evidence has ever been found because they're lying. Andrew Breitbart once said in Washington, D.C., when all black racist activists, meaning they're activists in name, they're racist and bigots in reality because they know it's a grip, it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. Andrew Breitbart said, produce a video. I'll pay anybody $100,000 for that video. Not one damn video was ever produced because he never said what they were accusing him of. See, we used to live in an era where they'd accuse you of saying something racist and people would believe. Since the video era, over 400 race hoaxes have been proven by Wilfred Riley in his book. I want to say from 2010 to 2016 or 17. It's just gotten worse since then. Here's three with the WNBA and Angel Reese being involved. And then Angel Reese mocks Clark as a scared white gal. And other posts, very racist. It was reversed to be very racist and bigoted. They ignore that. Alyssa Thomas of the Connecticut Sun caught on bench. The bench mic, May 30th, allegedly saying, these Indy fans are just a bunch of white racists. No WNBA investigation because they knew it wouldn't go anywhere. It was true. Not true. Not true. Alyssa Thomas. What a scumbag piece of. Can't say that word. Then I always bring this up because it's too good to not bring up. Mystics owner dismissed Clark's 2025 Time Athlete of the Year award saying, quote, the whole league deserved it, unquote. The whole league deserved it, unquote. The whole league. Not that whitey. Not whitey girl there. We're the ones building the league, not whitey. They've got, this is, y'all want to know why this league doesn't make a damn dime? Because you got incompetent owners. Then there's Aja Wilson, arguably the best player in the league. That woman just a victim, a walking 6 foot tall, 6 foot four, whatever height is victim. She claimed Clark's popularity stems from white privilege, which is a damn lie. It stems from her being so damn good. There's other white players. And they're just as bad as the black players. They can't bring a fan in to save their lives. Come on. They're like those guys when you're a sailor and you're in Newtown and you're walking downtown and they have all the guys with all the pamphlets. Come on into my nudie bar. Come on in. They're like, no, man, no. I can't do that. That's what Aja Wilson and the other white stars are. Come on in. Come watch them play. We don't want to see your sorry ass play. You may be the best in the league, but you just damn play some ugly basketball. Yeah, in the June 2024 interview, her endorsements and fame, that's white privilege at work. She's just these people are showing who and what they are. They're racist. The WNBA is the most racist league ever created since the 1960s. It's true. And the league does not want to clean it up. I cannot wait for Caitlin Clark to get offered some ungodly money, like $50,000, $100,000. You know, the Saudis, come play over here. We own this team. We'll get you $100 million. She's gonna go. There's only so much of a beatdown, and I wish. And she's just as bad though. She bent the knee. She bent the knee. My white privilege. No, you stupid. I can't say the word, but you know what word I'm thinking of. You bent the knee. You white privilege means you're given something because you're white. Sports is not about being given anything. You have to earn it. It's meritocracy. But Wilson will never achieve the fame that Clark has because she's a mean, vile, racist bigot. The NBA needs to enforce zero tolerance. They need to investigate racist comments from the other side. They need to sue to say, no, Monica McNutt will not be allowed into our stadiums or games. She's a racist. And the thing is you see it in some of these podcasts, some of these NBA players, when some of these women bring up ex-players, oh, they said they kind of, no, that ain't no foul. No, that's no flagrant foul. Y'all just jealous of this little old white girl there running circles around you. That's what y'all pissed off about. Shannon Sharp and some of the others. What I said has been said. They need to foster a culture that celebrates Clark. Clark's one of the nicest people around, it appears. But they don't because they're bigots. Clark has transformed the WNBA. She's driving record-breaking ratings, 2.2 million again upon her return, and attendance, 17,700. Remember, these people are lucky. We sold out, man. We got 3,000. I deserve to be paid like LeBron. We sold out 3,000. Pay me what I'm worth. You ain't worth what we're paying you now. There's only one person who deserves a multi-million-dollar contract, and that's Caitlin Clark. I bet you if Caitlin Clark went and started her own league, she'd have 90% of the league of the WNBA players begging her to play. Clark has transformed the WNBA, and the WNBA must protect its greatest asset. You did not hear me say must create favoritism. They just must protect it. Caitlin Clark's changing the game, and it's time that WNBA protects its biggest star and lets merit shine. There you have it. Let's close the show out with the final whistle. The final whistle. Our version of a lightning round. And let's start with Simone Biles deletes her ex account amid her feud with Riley Gaines over trans athletes. So Olympic gymnast Simone Biles deactivated her ex account. Why? She couldn't take the heat. Get out the kitchen, woman. You can't take that heat. So June 6th, Biles attacked Gaines on X and called her truly sick because she criticized transgender pitcher in a Minnesota high school softball championship game. Hey, I did a great short on that. Check it out on our Grumblies Media on YouTube channel. And then she tried to body shame her by suggesting she, quote, bully someone your own size, which would ironically be a male, unquote. Now, here's the kicker. You see those pictures, and there's certain aspects of those pictures, you go, man, that girl's on roids. Look at that. Look at that. And that's not a good, that's a little man there. That's a little man. You're like they do in sports. What sport did that? Anyway. The point is, she's masculine. Riley Gaines is not. And that just blew the internet up, and they destroyed her. And then they showed a post that she said, thank goodness men don't play in my sport, or something like that. And I think then one of her ex-teammates criticized her as the mean girl, et cetera, et cetera. And then she gave a half-hearted PR-driven apology. Then she deleted her account of 1.9 million followers. She doesn't need the money. That's a lot, though. It's a sad end to Biles' legacy. That's what she'll be remembered for. ESPN's Rebecca Lobo apologized for saying that's what makes America great. You know, ESPN is just disgusting. Disney's trying to offload it. They're trying to figure out how to make money off it. But anyway, ESPN commentator Rebecca Lobo sparked controversy. on the progressive side, and ESPN is a bastion of racism. Monica McNutt, Ryan Clark, Stephen A. Smith, he's not racist, he plays the race card because he's a con man, he's a grifter. But anyway, she said that's what makes America great. She was asking the question because she disagreed with an opinion. It was a game with the Fever versus the Aces. And Lobo said her disagreement with the announcer Pam Ward on a foul call makes, quote, makes America great. And but Ward, being the bigot she is, being the loser in life she is, being the scum of the earth she is, I don't like that. And she apologized. ESPN, Disney, and WNBA have provided no response to inquiries about Lobo's apology. Now, this is the thing. People hear now, screw this, man. I like Caitlin Clark, but not that much to listen to this nonsense. That's how you, that's why your league will never make money. The league lost $40 million last year despite having Clark. And they want to get paid more money. Angel Reese, I got to be paid like LeBron, like Larry Bird, like Michael Jordan. None of them have made any apology in terms of apologizing that she shouldn't have apologized. You know, this war. Can't say that word. All right, let's move on, or else I get madder. The Dodgers and ESPN spread false claim they lie about ice at Dodger Stadium parking lot. So the Dodgers and ESPN falsely accused ICE of trying to use Dodger Stadium, their parking lot, and they were saying that we sent them away. We shall protect that illegal toilet cleaner we have here. Because that's how they look at us Latinos. We're just good for selling popcorn, popcorn, anybody. I got hot dogs here. Then you take that off. Okay, where's the toilet scrub? I got to go clean to the store. You know, that's how they look at Latinos. Dodgers and ESPN, no different. So, the Dodgers posted on X that ICE agents requested access to the parking lot and were denied entry. A claim that ESPN kept ramping up. Look how tough we are. But Homeland Security said that there were no ICE agents there and only Customs and Borders Protection vehicles were briefly on the lot. That's not true. That's not what happened. You see how the left lies? It's just in their blood. All right. Let's move on. Sports media condemns Trump's Iran bombing, and they get backlash too. So the sports media, Ryan Clark claimed Trump's bombing was unnecessary. Screw you, Ryan Clark. You want to know what's you want to know he's not very smart. And why is he there? I hate to say it. It's what you call a DEI hire. Not very intelligent when it comes to looking at life and breaking things down. He plays the race card. He may know football, but I think that hit on the head he took, and when he was in the Washington Redskins, boy, he was laid out. Bam! Whoa! I think it did a number on him. He knows nothing about what's happening there, but had to chime in. Then Sarah Spain shared posts from AOC, calling for Trump's impeachment. Robert, RG3 is an enigma. He's so stupid sometimes, but he's not. The only time he gets mad is when they crack on his white wife. Then he takes offense. It's the only time. But they all label the bombing as the start of World War III. People are too stupid. I would say from day one, I have a long, fired up episode. This is the last one, episode 83. You should check it out. It's damn good. And I lay it out as to how and why. I answer the how, what, why, where, and et cetera. So all of these stars, and there were others, they all got backlash. Like, y'all too stupid. Keep dribbling. Now you racist. Don't be telling me to dribble. Look, I'm sorry. LeBron James is one of the dumbest men to ever play sports. I used to know this seal. He was the number two sharpshooter in the nation. He wasn't the smartest guy. One of the nicest guys, but not. And that's when I learned he can teach somebody to kill, but man, they may not have common sense. That's LeBron. Remember when he was carrying that book around? Hey, what's the book about?
Ooh, why'd you ask me that? Don't ask me that. You're a racist.
Anyway, let's close the show out. From host of ours, justified apology getting lost in NASCAR's tribal noise because of NASCAR's own doing in the past. The Caitlin Clark carrying the WNBA jet still getting beat down like a redheaded stepchild because of unchecked bigotry and racism. Tonight's show, sports is the battleground of merit, missteps, and media madness. In other words, you got it all in sports, good and bad. And in the final whistle, look, man, I just had to get that off my chest. Some of these stories have been percolating. But, man, Biles bailing on the X, boy, that's the ultimate beatdown she got. Dodgers lying about ice. You know, we deserve the truth instead of the lies in sports as well as politics. And with that, I am done, my friends. And I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to visit and bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, and Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. And don't forget to smash those likes and shares, my friends. Keep scoring points, and we'll see you next week for more. I am William Del Pilar for Points on the Board, and stay safe.